Hello and welcome to On The Box, the Geek Show's exclusive TV podcast. I'm Ryan, today I'm joined by...
Silence. Me.
Yeah, Andy. Him.
Silence. Screw you all.
I don't really think we need
a
much.
Bell. We need a bell. We need one of those doleful bells from the Westerns.
I've
the
told you, Rob, to invest in a shame bell.
Oh, just the soundtrack. Hello, Silence, my old friend.
Oh, no. Did you just break out the Simon and Garfunkel?
I did. Oh, wow. I've messed it up.
Yes, you did.
It's all gone wrong. Start again. It's all gone
wrong. We should find a button or an app or something where you press it. It just goes, shame.
Shame.
I think we've got mouths enough to do that.
Yeah.
Let's all practice saying it together. One, two, three.
Shame.
Okay, so that was about 5 seconds. I think that's a new record for us.
So anyway,
for going off topic, so we didn't even get to our names.
No, I said mine.
No, you just said me. You didn't even say your name.
Exactly.
I did say my name. If you're listening,
you just acknowledged your existence. That's all you did.
And I'm Andrew. Hi,
I'm Rob.
When you listen to it back, you'll be really, really embarrassed because I did.
They don't have names. They don't deserve them. Okay, on to the news.
The cast of peasants.
Yes. Right, on to the news. So what have we got? Who wants to start us off?
Shall we let one of the peasants do it?
Yes, peasants, what have you got?
No, you two are the peasants. Like, don't look at us. We have to say the peasants.
Anyway, I'll go first.
Okay.
You have to save like the best till first, don't you?
I usually save the best till last. Isn't that the phrase?
Usually, no.
Where'd you hear that from, Rob?
We are edgy here on right. The Box.
Anyway, this is BBC's new, I'd say, business opportunity, I think.
Okay.
And it's BBC Star. And what it is similar to what you'd use your iTunes Video Star or is it Blinkbox and things like that. It's called BBC Star. And it's live now. You can go and register now.
Okay.
It's a store where you have access to over 7,000 past to present BBC programmes. Going all the way back to the 60s, I'd say.
To the 60s. 60s. 50s, 60s. Okay.
And including the very first Doctor Who episode.
Oh. Okay, now I can see people paying for the very first Doctor Who episode.
But you're paying for it separately. You're paying for these separately, and the prices aren't really the best.
Okay, so you're paying for each episode.
For example, Doctor Who Series 1, which is 6 episodes, £9.99.
What? For each episode?
No, for the series.
That's still pretty steep, though, for a 6-episode series.
That's Army Season 3 and 4 bundle. That's 14 episodes, £22.99.
What?
And I'm thinking, this... would be a good thing if it was on the subscription.
Yeah.
For example, maybe eight.
Kind of like a Netflix thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'd more be people, interested in
the thing
that.
Is, more people would pay for it if it was a subscription. Has BBC never heard of Pilot High, Sell It Cheap?
Yeah. They do
make
have
a big pile of cash.
With the thing BBC.
No, I think as we've worked out by now, the BBC hate money.
BBC have worked around how times like have changed as well with content on the TV. For example, you're not allowed to show quite a lot of things on the BBC now than what you did in the 60s, 70s.
But it's not on TV, it's on the internet.
They put it in a of its time category.
Oh dear.
But it's,
example, it ain't half hot.
Does that mean we can't watch something like Dad's Army unless we have a TV with a cathode ray tube and it's in black and white and has a dial on it? Is that what they're saying? We're not allowed to watch this unless we show it on something like that.
A subscription model would have definitely been the way to go.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just
BBC and chill.
Yeah. It's just a matter of they'll have all this content but you've got to pay individually for it. But what I want to know is, are they just going to go for everything the BBC has ever shown over the past since its incarnation?
Oh, please God, yes. There are some glorious moments, like Paxman reading the weather.
Current affairs and sports programmes are said to be nearly impossible to include.
Oh, God.
Because they don't know the rights.
No word of man Paxman for us.
Yes, I know. Shame. Mm.
bit disappointed when you said, oh, but you see, I'm having a store. I was like, oh, great, I can buy all my Bake Off merch.
Yeah.
I can buy my Mary Berry calendars.
Seriously, I don't understand why they're not doing, like, why they're not doing specialist Bake Off merchandise and, you know, merchandise for Doctor Who and stuff like that, that you can only buy from the BBC store.
Right?
Oh, well, yeah. Like I said, BBC hate money.
Kind of ridiculous.
That's the only explanation that makes any sense.
No, there is one more. BBC hate people.
That's true.
That's an interesting
giving
twist.
The BBC store 7,000 free for people that pay the TV license?
No, then that kind of makes it a bit...
No.
Nah, it kind of defeats the purpose.
If they did it as a Netflix thing, then fine.
Yeah.
So, because they're going to be phasing out the TV license at some point in the next 10 years anyway.
They have to.
So going to a subscription model for the BBC Star would be the best thing.
Yeah.
It's especially dumb because, like, clearly this is meant to, like, be a competition to stuff like Netflix and Amazon Prime. But, like, they've looked at those and haven't realized what makes it work so well.
You might as well just go out and buy the DVDs at this point.
In saying that, I've found before, like, when I've been trying to find stuff that's been shown on the BBC, getting DVDs can actually be difficult.
Mm.
Especially when it's not like the main stuff like Dad's Army or Doctor's, but like some of the smaller stuff. Like there was a program from a few years ago called Attachments. It was based on like, a startup website in an office, and I found it quite intriguing, but I found it difficult to find.
Okay.
Oh. But similarly, though, do you think these are going to show up on the store?
I would hope so, but I suppose it depends on like whether they can get permission from the production company, and if they don't already, obviously they're allowed to show it, but you know,
or if they even think it's going to be worthwhile.
Mm. At the minute, it says it goes back to the earliest is Muffin the Mule.
Wow.
Until that's for now, but in a few months,
you can't really get much earlier than Muffin the Mule, can you?
Yeah.
So it goes back pretty far.
But okay.
Interesting.
We'll just give it. I'd give it at least like maybe a year until they'd probably bring a subscription model in. They have to.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to take off at all. Some people might pay.
I think
initially
they will incorporate the subscription model, but they'll still have that paid option if you just want certain things. Or maybe they'll keep certain things locked and you have to pay for them. Maybe there's like a time release thing on it.
iTunes do something similar where if you want a particular episode or something, you got to buy the whole series because some stuff will be locked as well.
It'll be a good thing to do for new content that they're bringing out. Like, maybe they can release it on this earlier than the actual DVD.
Yeah.
Might be a good way to do that.
Mm.
Or maybe they could just put Orphan Black back on the iPlayer. I wasn't done watching it, BBC.
Shame. Isn't it on Netflix now?
I think Series 1 and 2 are, but I don't think Series 3 is on Netflix yet.
Well, you should go chase Netflix.
Get your finger out Netflix.
It's just basically someone put it up so I can watch it.
Not even going there. Too easy. Too easy. Let's
BBC
move on.
Chill.
Let's move on. Don't go there. Let's move on. Who's next?
Fine. I'll get my story, whip it out, slam it down on the table.
Okay.
Hey, so Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials, potentially the whole trilogy, is going to be getting a BBC One series.
I actually like the idea of this, because the movie tanked. They changed a couple of things.
Yeah, the movie did not go too well.
They changed a couple of things. And isn't Dakota Blue, who was the lead character in the movie, isn't she wanting in on this one?
Well, yeah, she's just pretty much like tweeted out that, she would like to be involved if anyone will have her. So, like, obviously that's...
She may want to rephrase that.
Yeah. Well, you know, times are hard. You got to do what you got to do.
By the bins.
So yeah, this new trilogy, it's going to be produced by Bad Wolf and New Line Cinema. So that's
Bad Wolf. Bad Wolf are the ones who were involved in Doctor Who a lot, are they?
Yeah, I know, like the Christopher Eccleston. They were like the big bad guys.
No, I mean the production company, the actual production company. Didn't they get their
name?
Oh,
that would make sense where that comes from.
Didn't they get their name because they were heavily involved in Doctor Who?
Yeah, probably. That would make sense.
Hmm.
Instead of it just being a really weird coincidence.
Okay. And New Line Cinema. Okay. So, two pretty decent names.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all we know about the series at the moment.
I suppose I'm kind of hoping they'll go down the route that they took with Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, where they actually have it, you know, they have that atmosphere of it's of that time in that place.
Well, yeah, I would assume they would, because, like, that's pretty intrinsic to the books, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's just they also kind of failed to achieve that with stuff like Robin Hood and Atlantis.
But that's, I feel like BBC have learned the lessons of the past and kind of improving from that level.
Atlantis was recent.
Yeah.
But I feel like Atlantis is like the final binge where, like, you wake up the next morning in the bathtub and you go, I'm going to have a serious think about my life decisions now.
See, you say that, but then they come out with news like The Star.
I hope you don't bring toasters into that bathroom.
That's just them not being very smart.
Yeah. That's, I suppose, my main concern with this.
Okay, they're giving it a try. Sure, they'll find the way, but, you know, they're trying to change.
They want to move on and make themselves an omelette for breakfast, but then they leave all the shell in it.
Yes.
Yeah, but who hasn't done that every now and then?
Exactly. You're trying, BBC, and what's important.
How do you leave all the shell?
But try harder.
Yes. There's no participation medals in this biz.
Nope.
Now put Orphan Black back on the iPlayer, for God's sake.
Yes.
Can't we complain to BBC enough for everything that they do?
No, we need to complain more.
We're the voice of reason.
At the end of the day, there are some people at this table that are paying the BBC, so therefore...
Not me. Dave's a better channel. And that shows repeat
shots.
Well, no. I've lost the thread of this conversation.
Wait, what? Okay, pulling it back into like a very similar direction. Do you know there was a stage production of his Dark Materials?
Yes, there was.
Like, I don't remember that being a thing at all.
Yeah, there was a stage production of it, and a lot of people... I mean, I've read his Dark Materials, and I consider it a better series than Harry Potter by a long way.
Yeah, but lots of things are better series than Harry Potter.
Yeah, but this came out around the same time. Everyone was so hyped up on the crack that is Harry Potter, or Harry Potter's crack, I should say.
to be fair, a series of injections is better than Harry Potter.
I agree.
So yes, his Dark Materials by Philip Pullman. Yeah, if you get a chance, read the books or wait for the BBC series. Anyway, it's not the only...
I'm still confused by the stage production. So, like, what was there a guy, like, just Nicolas Cage style in a polar bear costume?
Yes.
That would have been amazing.
I want to see... Forget this series. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to Owen. There's only one news story for you.
Are you actually going to let me have this
one?
Are you really going to...
Yes.
Are you trusting me with this one?
Yes.
No, we're not. Show's over.
It's like Jimmy Fallon, Matt Damon. Hello, Matt Damon. Nice to meet you. Sorry, we've got no time. Goodbye.
Sorry, I can't hear Matt Damon's name without thinking Sarah Silverman.
Yep.
Yes.
She's doing something to Matt Damon.
God damn it, Rob. Stop killing our co-hosts.
Sorry.
Why do you think I'm never on this show?
Oh, God. Okay, I've crawled back.
He has literally just crawled back.
Oh, God.
I still can't believe I said that with a straight face.
Neither can
I. That's what made it worse.
All right. Anyway, I believe you have news that will please a whole section of science fiction fans.
Yes.
It probably won't, though. There will be people who won't like it.
Well, there's every chance. January 2017 is going to be quite a month for those of us who consider ourselves Trekkies or Trekkers, as many prefer.
Trekkies. Trekkies. It will always be Trekkies. It's been Trekkies since before I was born. It will be Trekkies after I die. You and your newfangled backwards hats.
Trekkers just sound like something you'd wear.
Trekkers sounds like some kind of breakfast
so
cereal. Can I have a bowl of Trekkers?
Lovely bowl of Trekkers. Yes.
Be Trekkers the Tomcat or something. Tony
what?
Is it the Trekkers version of Tony the Tiger?
Well, usually a Trekker is like a hillbilly in the like massive truck who's lost enough teeth that they now say the word Trekker.
Yes.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway.
2017 January, Star Trek will be back on our TV screens.
And we hope.
Well,
we hope, because Ash and the Evil Dead isn't on our TV screens.
No, it is not.
Shame.
All together now?
Shame.
That should be invented there.
You do realise this is going to be the episode of shame.
Well, that's our name already.
Anyway, Star Trek, back on the TV screens. Tell us
more. There will be a new series of Star Trek, and it will not be related to the film franchise.
Oh, hang on. Does that mean it's going to follow on from the... Does that mean it's going to follow on from the original TV series?
Well, I don't know, because it could just mean that it's kind of still set in that same world, but not really anything to do with the films.
Yeah, but I mean... Yeah, I suppose,
Yeah, I've got the question here. Will they go back to the original timeline, or will they stick with the new timeline but set it in the future, like with Next Generations? But it is going to have...
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to set it in the timeline of the movies, and you're going to do like Star Trek, the next generation alternative to give it its full name. Who's going to play Jean-Luc Picard?
Well, James McAvoy, obviously.
He's got too much hair.
He can shave
it. That can be that can be changed.
I vote for Michael Chiklis. Let's have a starship captain who actually looks like he can take down a Gorn.
he is a Trekker.
I want Bryan Cranston.
No, Bryan Cranston can be Worf. He's got the wrinkles. Either him or Gordon Ramsay.
Plus, to be fair, I think Bryan Cranston is as good in a fist fight as Worf is.
Yeah.
So is Gordon Ramsay. And Gordon Ramsay can use knives.
Oh, Christ. Well, don't let him near a battle then.
Well, the thing is, you don't need the... You know the Klingons have all the wrinkles?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need them with M2.
Oh, no, you don't.
They come pre-made.
Those cranial ridges.
Pre-ribbed.
God, for our pleasure.
I'm not dying again. Sorry, I just can't.
I'm keeping straight face.
No. So, yes.
Yes, this is happening. There have been rumours circling for the past year whether it would be or not. Then those rumours were quashed, and then they said, on the heels of the 50th anniversary after the release of the next film, they're going to bring out this new series. And if I recall, it has the producer from the J.J. Abrams franchise, Kurtzman?
Alex Kurtzman, yes. Yep. So, yeah, because it's 50 years of Star Trek next year.
Oh, yeah, 1966.
Wow. Yeah, we won the World Cup.
Yes, it was a good year.
Is that a sign?
And we've never, ever forgotten it.
What's that great chant?
Two World Wars and one World Cup.
I don't know how I feel about the whole 50 years of Star Trek thing, because really, hasn't there been like a fairly sizable gap where there's been no Star Trek?
Well. Yes.
So it's not really been 50 years of Star Trek, huh? It's like when Doctor Who did its big anniversary thing, it's like, well, no, because there's like a decade when there was no Doctor Who.
Okay,
true.
I am going to put out a particular point. I think they can do 50 years of Star Trek because of all of the endless repeats of The Next Generation that went on Sky One for about a decade.
Actually, yeah, that's true.
All of the syndication of the original series that are on CBS Action.
Yep.
And
BBC was showing them as well.
Do you see what I mean?
Then you got sci-fi.
I think they can say, 50 years of Star Trek, because some channel somewhere in the world is going to have an episode of Star Trek on. You can be pretty much guaranteed.
Definitely, yeah.
It's like an STD.
it
slowly just infects and just makes its way on every channel.
Oh, I would love.
We need to find a cure for Kirk.
Imagine if the next series is going to be called something like Dimensions, so then it would be Star Trek Dimensions. So therefore,
I find these pants itchy.
The doctor would be diagnosing you with Kirk.
Yes. Actually, I know what the cure for Kirk is. Seeing modern day William Shatner in his old Star Trek uniform. It's just tightened all the wrong places.
Wow. So yes, this is happening. I think actually been close to 10 years since there's been a Star Trek series after the end of Enterprise.
Yeah, so I liked Enterprise.
So did I.
I'll tell you, a lot of Star Trek fans hated Enterprise, but I really liked it.
I did as well. I quite enjoyed the stories, especially the.
Well, I like the premise of it. I mean, yeah. it's the first. It's not the first of the Enterprises, but it's the first kind of interstellar battle type. First proper deep space one. And I thought Scott Bakula was a good choice the first captain.
I really liked him. The thing is,
whenever Scott Bakula's on screen, and even in, you know, he's in NCIS New Orleans.
Yeah.
And I keep expecting Al to turn up as a hologram somewhere and start talking about how Ziggy can't track the timeline.
Couldn't, like, all these other roles just be him quantum leaping into, like, various other things?
That's exactly I thought. That's why I kept expecting to see Al.
Wow.
That would be like the best series finale for NCIS.
The weird things about Quantum Leap was when he leapt into the body of a woman, and like, okay, so she's in a stable relationship with her husband. I'm not sure how this one's going to work out.
Like I said, you do what you got to do.
No wonder he was always happy to leap into a new body.
Back to.
We derailed that story completely, didn't we?
Oh, yes, but I will have
do that by waving his magical staff.
Yes.
If we could go...
I think you'll find it was advanced technology. Al had a handheld.
Oh, the future.
Anyway.
Yes. I do have a question, because there are still those that are trying to fight for a fifth season of Enterprise. So do you think people prefer this all-new series?
Enterprise finished at a good point, right? Enterprise finished with the formation of the Federation. That was the best place to end it. Leave it at that.
Yes, but that's mainly because they set that episode 10 years after the previous episodes.
Yeah,
they
but the previous thing is the episodes leading up to that were actually part of that foundation,
No, that's true.
Because if you remember, right at the end, they were up against the Zindi.
Yeah.
And they basically laid the foundations. The alliance they made with various Zindi species, that was part of the birth of the Federation.
Yeah.
And of course, then they did the final episode, which was set 10 years after. Mm. Or actually not set 10 years after, it was set in the future, because it was basically Jonathan.
Right, it was Jonathan Frakes using
the holodeck. So,
yeah.
That ended at a good point. Mm. That was a great place to end it. It's not like when they decided to cancel my favorite show, Farscape. Oh. And they basically went, oh, yes, we'll have these two. They've decided to get married. Now we're going to blow them up.
Yeah, just that was like,
yeah,
why?
Do like a film or something.
They did the Peacekeeper Wars, where you finally got to see the wormhole weapon.
Oh, that was that
And it was
awesome.
Just kind of everybody suddenly, you know, it was like the backside dropped out of them. And literally, they just saw the wormhole weapon. And he's like, yeah, this is what you wanted, boys and girls.
Yeah.
The wormhole weapons don't bring victory or anything like that. You can't beat your enemies with it. It's just total and utter destruction. It's basically end of the universe stuff.
Yeah, it essentially was. It was beautiful to watch, though.
Yeah, it was great watching Scorpius's face go paler than normal.
Is that even possible?
Yes.
Oh God.
They did it with makeup.
It was just wow.
But you said that like his normal pale face wasn't done by makeup.
Thing is, in the Peacekeeper Wars, they had some great scenes, like when Dago has been mortally wounded, and the last thing Crichton says to him is, show them who their daddy is. He's got two guns at the invading army. He's sitting there, and all you can hear in the background goes, I'm your daddy!
Oh, God. Oh, I need to watch this.
The relationship between the characters in Farscape was genius, and obviously it's got Henson puppetry in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's everything that I wanted. It's got great characters, puppets that are just brilliantly done.
Yeah.
Rigel, when he eats a certain thing, he urinates fire. And they actually use that in one episode. They force feed him this food and then put him on a platform, and he's keeping away these guys who are trying to attack by just urinating in front of them.
The show writers were clearly on a lot of coke.
I forgot how
weird
it
sounds. This sounds quite disturbing.
It was a great episode.
There's an episode called Scratch and Sniff where the episode starts off with a very, very drunk Crichton, who's the human, trying to explain to the pilot, who's in a symbiotic relationship with the living ship, right? Trying to explain to him why everything that happened on the planet wasn't his fault. And it has scenes, you know,
it's become self-aware.
It has scenes of a very drunk Dago, who's like an alien who has hyper rage.
Oh, yes.
You know, and like a gunshot. He's kind of like a more Klingon, total warrior race, badass type character.
Yeah.
And he's drunk and Crichton just turns around and goes, "There you go, Dago, follow the booty." And all you can hear from Dago is, "Booty."
I remember that. Meth. Oh, wow.
All the meth on this show.
It is, but it's so much fun.
Oh,
it's so disturbing.
It's so good, though.
It is such a good show. I remember the sort of Looney Tunes, this episode where everything went all cartoon.
Oh, yeah, when Scorpius was in his mind.
That was brilliant.
There was one scene that really stuck with me. It was totally incongruous to the entire tone of the scene. Crichton has just been ambushed by soldiers, and he says to the leader of the soldiers, he says to him, "You're a man of the world, so maybe you can tell me." And then he leans against the wall and sticks his back out and says, "Does my ass look big in this?" And then starts shooting.
Oh.
So, yeah, so many memories.
Yes, memories.
Farscape was weird and I miss it.
It was.
I know.
Yes. Anyway, that was the Star Trek story.
Yeah, and then they went to Stargate SG-1.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Anything with a wormhole, you'll find Ben Browder.
Yep. Yep.
And I don't know what that means. Maybe Ben, we can get in touch with him and ask him, "So, Ben, what is it about wormholes that attracts you?"
He was in Doctor Who as well. It was an episode of Doctor Who, which took me by surprise.
I like it deep.
And cosmic.
Oh. That's the name of the show right there.
Deep and cosmic.
I like it deep and cosmic.
Yeah, I think that's an episode title. Yes. I like it deep and cosmic.
That's shameful. That's very shameful.
Nah, deep and cosmic, sorry.
Oh, you just got told.
Right, okay.
I would just like to add that Scott Bakula's power to quantum leap comes because he is a man within a man.
It all makes sense.
No, sometimes he's a man within a woman as well. Anyway, final news story.
That's definitely cosmic.
So, no. And something quantum about it as well.
So deep he's inside the person.
Mitchell and Webb are reuniting for a new sitcom after the final season of Peep Show, which is, according to them, it's more middle-aged than Peep Show. I think it's called Back. And I'm not sure if the middle-aged part means that they've thrown the back out, you know, and now they're all, it's just like episodes of them complaining about how much their backs hurt. Maybe it's set in a physio or something like that, where they're just on the table and they're getting, you know, the spines are getting cracked and stuff like that.
Maybe he's like going through like a midlife crisis, but turns out it's like, "I've dropped my bicky in my brew."
Oh, Peter Kay. Just love that joke so much. Yeah.
Basically, it's by Peep Show writer Simon Blackwell, and it'll be very different, very much more middle-aged than Mark and Jeremy's exploits. It's being developed for Channel 4 with Phil Clark, the head of comedy, who produced many series of Peep Show. And everyone's been hoping that it's going to happen at some point. So I think it's the obvious next step for Mitchell and Webb after the final series of Peep Show is to do kind of middle-aged Peep Show.
I think it's interesting that they've got the same team on it as well, members of the same team.
There is a trailer for the final series of Peep Show, which a lot of people were really happy about when the announcement was made.
The last series of Peep Show was supposed to be the final series of Peep Show.
Yeah, I know. I thought that as well. But, you know, I'm not going to deny a new series would be, you know, would be interesting. Let's see if they can end it on a high.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, yeah. But that's not the only comedy coming back. Because there is another one. There is another one. And I'm going to start this one with Bing Bang, Stick It In, Thank You and Good Night. Alan Partridge is going to be back in 2016 for a new series of Mid-Morning Matters.
Oh, dear.
It's going to be good.
It will be.
And number one, Steve Coogan's creation, Alan Partridge. Who doesn't like Alan Partridge?
Has his own movie, man.
I know.
His own movie.
And his own
book. I can never look at Tupperware the same way again.
Is that his own book as well?
Have you seen Alpha Papa?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, have you?
Really
want who
to.
Here has seen Alpha Papa?
No,
you have.
Yeah,
so
I've
you
seen
know,
it a lot
you
of
know,
time.
You know why? What I mean when I say I can never look at Tupperware the same way again. The lunchbox.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think what Tupperware was.
Yeah, the lunchbox. Yeah.
Oh, the bomb.
Well, you could call it a bomb if you want. There is something in there waiting to explode.
I'm scared.
Oh, well, in a hostage situation, you're not allowed to go to the toilet.
Oh, I think I get the joke now, so... Aha. Uh-huh.
I kind of got the joke so much earlier than I really wanted to.
Anyway, the series was originally planned to air later this month, but it's been delayed. When a fan asked why Now TV was advertising its date as November the 10th, he was told, "Think so, it's been shunted around, was meant to be November at one point, I think." So, yes. The Awkward Local Radio DJ is returning for a second series on Sky Atlantic from February the 8th.
Oh, it would be Sky Atlantic.
Yeah,
in other words,
on North
Norfolk.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
On internet stream, unless Sky bring it.
Well, it is somewhere. North Norfolk Digital. I'm looking forward to that one. It's Steve Alan Cooper. Partridge. Yeah. You know.
Alan Partridge, he also had a book which was brilliant. I had the audio book and it was... Oh,
I mean, the thing is, I don't think Steve Coogan is good in everything he's been in, but...
I kind of enjoyed Saxondale.
Okay, yeah.
You haven't heard the audiobook.
But he has had some serious roles as well, hasn't he? Steve Coogan's had some serious movie roles, hasn't he, Ryan?
Yeah, he was in that.
He was in Around the World
Philomena,
in 80 Days.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. He's been in quite a few
bits. In Around the World in 80 Days.
Yeah.
And that's not a serious film role.
Quite serious.
When I say serious film role, I mean something like Philomena.
I can't remember.
Where he's actually acting and not doing comedy.
Didn't he...
Well, he wasn't doing comedy Around the World in 80 Days.
He was in Percy Jackson as well.
He was in Percy Jackson.
He played Hades.
Did he?
Yeah.
Really?
It was hilarious.
Oh, yes, he did. He was Hades in Percy Jackson.
For some reason.
I don't know why they chose him for that.
Why not?
Brilliant, though.
I don't know. All right, okay, enough with the news. Let's move on to what have you been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching? Somebody. Anybody.
Stuff and things and stuff.
Shame.
Well, do you want to go?
So, once again, I had a bunch of stuff that I was going to talk about, and now I'm not going to talk about.
Why?
Because, something else came along that I feel is more pressing.
Real Housewives of Alabama?
No, basically last week's episode of Doctor Who.
Okay.
So, basically it's the start of a new two-part storyline that's kind of a sequel to their big anniversary thing they did. And basically as part of that, the Zygons, who are like a shape-shifting alien race.
Are these the ones who, those are the ones with the cone head that looks a bit like the end of a thing?
They look vaguely squid-like. But basically, they can shapeshift, and as part of a truce with UNIT, there's now a bunch of them living on Earth.
Okay.
But, no one kind of knows who is a Zygon, who's a human. But basically, kind of a rogue splinter group of Zygons have decided, no, they want the right to be just in their normal alien form.
Okay.
So they've kind of, this is basically the crux of the matter. They form Zygon ISIS.
Oh. Oh dear.
And I don't
ISIS.
I don't even mean that as a joke. It's literally the Zygons are based off ISIS, and it's this is kind of dark for Doctor Who.
Yeah, but I like dark Doctor Who. But
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure about Zygon ISIS, because ISIS is a very real threat. I understand they're trying to maybe promote more awareness by using that storyline.
Yeah, they're kind of going for a more topical thing. It's a lot of the conflict is basically UNIT want to just find them and bomb them. But the Doctor, and he even literally phrases it like this, he's worried that doing that will radicalize the other Zygons. And it's just, I didn't expect Doctor Who to be this topical political commentary, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Actually, it's kind of going back to, was it John Pertwee was one of the Doctors?
Yeah, the third Doctor. Yeah, it's a lot like that when,
when
he was
running around
with
UNIT and
UNIT,
he was working with UNIT quite a lot because he was stuck on Earth. He couldn't get the TARDIS working. Something was blocking him leaving Earth. So he was stuck on Earth and he was going around fighting crime and solving problems with aliens, with the humans, and there was all sorts of stuff going on. But he was very, very politically active at that point as well.
See, I was quite young when I saw those ones. So like,
he joined any protest marches, but he heavily disagreed with the way the military was trying to run things. And they were basically trying to follow politicians' orders. So he heavily disagreed with the politicians.
Yeah, I guess, but still, it's not as, like, ripped from the headlines as this is.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But, yeah, Zygon ISIS. I'm not sure how I feel about being... because it's kind of saying, well, okay, so Zygon is supposed to be Muslims, which means I'm a shape-shifting alien with a penis head.
I agree with the second part of that.
Hey?
Sorry, you
I do have the ray gun, though. I finally have a ray gun.
The one you've always wanted.
Yes. And I just had to get a penis head to get one.
Well, you already had that, but... I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Come over here. You come on to our show. Insult.
Still in your jobs.
I think it's not like straight up saying... that Muslims are phallic-shaped, shape-shifting aliens.
I know, I was joking.
It's going more for like an Invasion of the Body Snatchers type thing, and that, like, they could be any one of us. And it actually like led to like this big twist at the end of the episode, which like was actually pretty cool.
Oh, is that the one where...
Well, I'm not going to say what the big twist is, Rob. That's called a spoiler.
Yeah, I know. It's they kind of gave it away, though, didn't they? In the trailer.
But just because the BBC do something stupid doesn't mean we have to do it as well.
I'm not going to say
are we
going to
start opening up a geek show shop where we're going to show old episodes of things but charge everyone like ridiculous prices?
Twiddle our mustaches.
Everyone just paused to twiddle a mustache, those that had them anyway.
I've got half of one.
You got half of one? Did you shave the other half off so you're now like Gary Oldman in The Fifth Element? Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel
like
Zorg.
Twiddle for one loose strand of hair I've got like above my lip.
I know, Andrew, you can twiddle your eyebrows along with Andy.
Yes.
I don't have eyebrows.
Oh, those are substantial eyebrows.
Oh, eyebrow twiddling is actually kind of painful.
I said twiddle, not pull your eyebrows off.
I'm an aggressive twiddler, okay?
So
I can't help it.
That's so metal.
What? Twiddling your eyebrows?
No, ripping them off.
I was going to say twiddling your... I don't see how twiddling your eyebrows is metal.
Nah, that's just kawaii.
Anyway, so Doctor Who.
Yep, it happened.
It's a thing.
I had unsure feelings about it.
Reserving final judgment until this week's episode?
Yeah, I think that's probably best.
Okay, moving on then. Who's next?
I'll go then.
Okay.
I've been watching quite possibly my favourite satirical BBC satirical show. Have I Got News For You?
Yes, I like Have I Got News For You.
It is.
But mainly for Paul Merton.
Paul Merton's fantastic.
He is brilliant. But for me, I'm just enjoying Ian Hislop's commentary on the government in so many, especially whenever he has something to say about George Osborne.
Yeah, it's just Ian Hislop. He's always got something to say about the government. I mean, he runs Private Eye,
yep.
So he's going to have some kind of political commentary. What I love about Have I Got News For You is just when he starts going off on one, Paul Merton just comes out from left field and goes, "Totally derail. I am the leaf on the tracks."
So he's so
that was
brilliant.
A Firefly reference, by the way.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't pick that
sad
up.
Sad now.
I know, I miss Wash as well.
I thought of Firefly when you said that, but I didn't realize that was directly what you were referencing.
Yep, I am a leaf on the tracks.
Watch me get impaled horrifically.
No, watch me horribly derail this train of thought. So yes.
Choo choo.
So, yeah, Have I Got News For You?
I don't know, have you?
No, not okay. Anymore. We did the news earlier.
But yeah, it's obviously with the way things are going now with the government, it's one of the best times to have this series. Like, there have been times where I've watched where something big's happened, something big and hilarious happened with the government, but then it's like, got away. There's no series on available. It's like, this is the perfect time to be doing this. And now, you're just not there, but at least now, with everything that's going on, they're here to comment on it, and it's hilarious.
Well, back in the 1980s, we had like Spitting Image, which was the real political satire. And if you ever get a chance, have a look at Spitting Image. It doesn't matter if you don't understand what was going on in the 80s
still,
in politics.
It still like hands up to
it. Still stands up to the test of time. But they tried bringing back a version of Spitting Image, that celebrity-based one. It was awful.
Oh, it really was.
It was horrible.
Yeah, they should just, you know, remake it.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't, you know, mess around with the formula.
But there is one thing I want to mention, and we saw this today, right? And I can guarantee you it will be on the next episode of Have I Got News For You. Sometimes a story just comes out, and you see it, and you go, that's going to be on Have I Got News For You. It was, what was it, the village of the town of Lewis or something like that?
Oh, yes.
And they had a massive effigy of naked David Cameron with a pig's head, and they set fire to it.
It's amazing.
It really is.
That is going to, some things you can be pretty much guaranteed are going to be on Have I Got News For You.
Really, yeah. Oh, I do hope they do make a commentary that out of, after the
no,
burning.
No. What they should do, you know, they have the odd one out.
Yeah.
It should be on that.
Yes. I would just love for them to also mention the fact that after the burning, the only thing that didn't burn was his shiny face.
Yes. Look at his big shiny face. And it was big on that effigy. Shiny yeah, face was
really
huge.
Massive. Was.
Could swallow you whole. It was like Attack on Titan at one point.
Except it's David Cameron, so it's 20 times more scarier. Oh,
yes.
I also like the way he was kind of looking down, like looking down at all the poor people as he burned.
And they call me political. Just the venom when you said that.
He had his pig, so he was happy.
Hi. I'm sorry, but I'm sat here with an actual poppy, not a photoshopped one.
He photoshopped a poppy?
On the Facebook account, there was a picture of him with a poppy that had actually been photoshopped on.
Why?
To make him seem nice.
Why not just but they did replace it eventually with one where he actually had a poppy on.
Yeah, eventually. They still did it.
Where the poppy in the first place?
That's my point.
Is the British economy so bad that David Cameron now can't afford a poppy?
I just have one question. The photo that they replaced it with, did they try and make an identical photo but with him holding a real poppy, but everybody was just a little bit more to the left than they were before? So you can kind of go, it's like some weird stop motion animation if you flick between the two photos and the poppy's gone from that side to that side.
Continuity errors.
Let's imagine it was just David Cameron's head like superimposed over the Colossal Titan just peering over the wall. I'd like maybe, I don't know, with a poppy in his head or something.
Puny working class people.
I'm going to
take all your
working tax credits. Oh, wow. That was horrible.
I was also watching, I just want to quickly go on that about the tax credits. I was also watching.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the richest of them all? Make him my friend.
I also watched Muslim Howie's Good News, and you know how they made that thing about, thinking of consent as making a cup of tea. So like if you offer someone a cup of tea, they say yes, give them a cup of tea and all that. Well, they basically did the same thing as with the tax credits. Like thinking of tax credits as tea. Poor people have very little tea. Tories have lots of tea, but they want more tea. So we'll take your tea, but you'll get some tea eventually. It's hilarious.
Okay. Sounds like a Dave Gorman thing.
It could be, except it was a Russell Howard
thing. Dave Gorman's
working tax credits.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, but if someone brings me a cup of tea, like, I'm not going to be mad at them for bringing me a cup of tea.
No.
Like, unless, like, I actually have, like, another drink physically in my hands and I'm drinking it, then I'd probably be like,
I know how to solve all the arguments. I know how to solve all the arguments in the House of Commons. I know how to solve all of the arguments in the House of Commons. Right? What you do... You walk in there with a big trolley, you know, one of those big serving trolleys that, they use for room service and stuff like that. Then you take the lids off everything, and there are just the most delicious cakes there. And then the speaker gets up, and he has his piece of cake, and he's sitting there, and he goes, "This is tasty cake. You're not allowed any unless you sort things out peacefully."
Just treating them like school kids.
Yes, just treat them, and then just eating the cake in front of them.
That brings
very
a whole
slowly.
Yes,
that brings a whole
into his microphone.
Yes,
it brings
just making noise like
heavily breathing.
Yes,
it brings a whole new meaning to the expression having your cake and eating it too.
Yes.
Oh yes.
So yeah, because we all know. Cake is the great leveler. It's not death, it's cake.
It's a lie.
Cake makes everyone equal.
It's a lie.
No, seriously. Poor person goes to rich person, offers them cake. that poor, that rich person is that poor person's best friend until the cake is finished.
Yeah. Yeah, but then usually the rich person will have all the cake, leaving the poor people with none.
No, no, for that time until the cake is finished, yeah, they're best buds. They're
like
BFFs.
Wow.
Just for the duration of the cake.
I think you're over.
It's like the tax credit thing. It's like the tax credit thing. Until the poor people run out of money, the rich people are the best friend because they want to take the money from the poor people.
I was going to say, Rob, like there are prostitutes that accept payment in cake now.
I don't know.
But, Rob, I think you are overestimating.
Next week on the Geek Show Investigates.
Ryan has been to the docks.
Just covered in cake. Or is it? Is it icing?
He's also seen some very nice muffins.
Chocolate chip.
Anyway,
none
Rob.
Of these skinny muffins.
Muffins. For God's sake.
Anyway, shall we move on?
But I want to quickly say one thing. I really think you are overestimating the power of cake.
Cake is a powerful thing. If I put cake down in front of you right now, you would be my best friend until the end of that cake, wouldn't you?
No.
Yeah, admit it, you would be. You would be. If I just said, here, have some cake to you, you would be my best friend until the cake was finished. Especially if it was your favourite cake.
But Rob, I thought we were already best friends.
Plus, Rob, I think you'll find you're wrong, because Owen would be the guy on the floor after I've lunged across the table to get to the cake.
This show's got more drama than Coronation Street. Not even joking.
We've got fights over cake, man.
I know. It is starting already.
Anyway, moving on.
To be fair, if it's coconut cake, then yeah, I'll be your best friend.
Right, okay. Moving on. Who's next?
Should I go next?
Yeah, go on, Andy.
Yeah.
I've been watching something different this week. This is probably something you've been watching, Rob.
Have I?
I've been watching Michelle Roux's Kitchen Impossible.
Yes. Dear God. Yes, I've been watching that. It's actually really good. Mm. Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember, I mentioned this before, that Michelle Roux did a series on, I think it was BBC Two, called Service. And I said, BBC dropped the ball with Michelle Roux. They seriously dropped the ball with him. Right? While he was doing MasterChef, The Professionals, he had another series that only ran for like 8 episodes called Service. It was all about front of house service. They could have ran that for 5 or 6 seasons. And it would have taught loads of people all about how to be a really good waiter and end up working in some really high-end places, earning a small fortune. Because you can. There's a lot of money to be made in the service industry if you know what you're doing. Right? And BBC canned it after one season. After one series, they canned it. And now it's so hard to find. But they actually use it as a teaching tool for people who want to learn front of house, which is one of the reasons I have great respect for Michelle Roux, because he takes teaching very, very seriously. But yeah.
Yeah, well, let's say Kitchen Impossible. It's teaching people with disabilities.
Yeah.
Or people in that used to cook before the disability.
Yeah.
In particular, there's one that's actually blind.
Yeah.
Went blind 8 months ago and still wants to cook and still cooks. And it makes you think, though, doesn't it? That,
yeah.
Yeah, sounds really good.
Again, this is why I like him. You know, he doesn't just talk the talk.
Mm.
He puts his money where his mouth is and goes out and actually tries to teach people, because at the end of the day, it's part of the legacy of the Roux family. The Roux family, Michelle Roux Sr. had the first Michelin star. He got the first Michelin star in the UK.
And, of course, his wife, Kanga, was an Olympic-level high jumper.
Yes, she was. Although, I would dare you to say that to his face.
I would not say that to a man who like spends many of his days around very sharp knives.
Yes.
Rolling pins, man. Rolling pins.
Yes.
Ah, but where's he going to keep it?
Oh, God.
Don't even go there. Anyway, yes.
I wouldn't want to go there.
In his ego.
Thing is, yes.
He could probably live in his ego big enough.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, the main, like, at the end of the episode last night, it was at the London food show.
Yeah.
That it is. And that was his proper stall that he'd usually have.
Yeah.
And he put the trainees in instead of his normal team. And I bet you that the pressure on that would have been,
you know, would have been immense. Mm. But this is what I mean when I say he puts his money where his mouth is. He takes them. And I mean, he in service, he actually had people coming in, paying customers and the like, into his own restaurant. And he had the trainee front of house staff working in his own restaurant. He called in favors from people who in the, you know, in the restaurant business and actually had them working in their restaurants during a normal service.
And some of these as well had Tourette's as well.
Yeah.
Which that, but I think that would have been quite hard in a public facing like scenario.
Yeah. Very, very difficult in a public facing scenario. But the thing is, these people want to, they want to be able to function in normal society. And if he's given them the skills and the knowledge that they need in order to achieve their goal, then great. A lot of people don't even know this series is on TV. You know that? It's not been heavily advertised anywhere.
I only noticed it was on. I said, oh, what's that? And it's actually really good.
Wow.
It's really different. It's not your traditional cooking show if you're not a fan of that.
It's not a competition, though, is it?
It's just...
It's weird
to, for him to prove that because a lot of people with disabilities don't get taken on for roles.
Do you know
what channel is it on?
Channel 4.
Right, that's weird though, because like you think Channel 4, all the hype they put into like the Paralympics.
Yeah,
I think they'd like try and carry that theme over a bit.
Yeah, but you know, Channel 4 tends to drop the ball a lot these days. All the channels have been dropping the ball a lot these days when it comes to what people actually want to watch. I like the fact that it's not a competition. I like the fact that there's no competing involved. You know, everybody's trying to help everybody else out.
It's a good thing for him to do as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I agree. Good on you for watching it. It's definitely something I'm watching as well. So
I'd like to watch that.
Wait until you find out what I've been watching next week, because I've got that in mind.
Oh, dear.
It's completely different.
Is this going to like immediately counteract all the goodwill you've earned every
considering
day?
Considering the last time I said that, the thing I was watching was Safe Word.
Yes, I know. That's why my first reaction when you said, wait until next week, I think he's been watching reruns of Lady Chatterley's Lover, which for some reason got shown on BBC... At like, what time was it? 9 o'clock?
Is that what you've been watching, Rob?
No, it's not.
But
it's Bob, not.
It was all about intense, like heavily edited action.
Yes, I know. But the weird thing is, I remember when I was a kid and it was still banned. Or at least you could only buy it in specific adult shops.
But I feel like...
Andrew, intense. Couldn't they afford a room?
No, it was mainly in a barn.
I think if Game of Thrones can be like the most successful show on TV, then I think everyone's kind of collectively gone, yeah, okay, maybe we can ease up on the no sex thing a teensy weensy bit.
Yeah, and go for Lady Chatterley's Lover. Let's ease up on it and go straight for D.H. Lawrence. What's next TV series of the rainbow?
Fine, the BBC's still working all that alcohol out of its system from the last big binge.
Yes, but unfortunately the Christmas binge is about to happen again.
Yes, yes it is.
Right. Oh,
one day, BBC, you'll get your act together.
Ryan, do you want to go next or do you want me to?
I would like to save the best for last.
Okay, then
but
I'll
I've already
go
been.
Oh, no.
I will go next then. I agree with Ryan on this one about saving the best for last because he has got the best one this week. Me, on the other hand, I have Supergirl. I watched the first two episodes of Supergirl, and I've got to say, it's kind of different, and I kind of understand why they've decided to bring back Supergirl. Right. What's Supergirl's Earth name in the comics?
It's Kara Kent. I think she's a Kent, isn't she?
She's a Kent. She was raised by the Kents.
Yeah, yeah. She's
Kara Superman's
Kent.
Cousin. The thing is, she was raised by Martha and Jonathan Kent. That's where Superman took her. But in the TV series, no. They took Kara Zor-El, and he took Kara Zor-El, and they basically spun it like this. She was given a mission by her mother to protect the young Kal-El on Earth. But she got trapped in the Phantoms, in the negative zone or the Phantom Zone or whatever it's called. She was released from there 24 years later. Kal-El had announced to the world that he was Superman. And basically, he took her in and took her to, not the Kents this time, took her to the Danvers family.
But
So now her name is Kara Danvers.
No, she's not Captain Goddamn Marvel.
I know, but this is why I said there's a Captain Marvel link. She has a sister who works for this military unit that fights against aliens, and they only know aliens exist because Superman is there and she's there as well. She doesn't know how to use her abilities, apparently, because she's not used them before. Like, well, hang on. You have big old red and blue over in Metropolis. Why not just get him to teach you?
But didn't you just say that she was sent to Earth to protect Superman initially?
Yes.
So, like, wouldn't they have given us some sort of training first?
Well, here's the thing, right? She was a 13-year-old girl who was sent to Earth to protect Superman on the last day of Krypton. But when you get right down to it and you start breaking it down, you just kind of, well, okay, so she could fly when she was a kid, but now she reckons she's forgotten how to fly. Sorry, probably not going to happen. And if you have Kryptonians, right? Because her aunt turns up in the second episode. Her aunt is her mother's twin.
Sure.
And she was put in prison by her mother, who was a judge. Basically, the way they've spun it is that they're doing a brimstone here. They're basically saying, oh, all of these really, really dangerous entities and criminals have broken out of this Kryptonian prison that was in the Phantom Zone or Negative Zone. Is it Phantom Zone or Negative Zone?
Yeah, it's Phantom Zone. Negative Zone is Marvel.
Yeah.
Although I guess it will be Negative Zone because this sounds like they've just ripped off Captain Marvel by accident.
Yes. Basically, all of these criminals were trapped in this Fort Ross in the Phantom Zone. And when she escaped the Phantom Zone somehow because she was unconscious, they also got dragged out of the Phantom Zone with her and crashed on Earth around the same time that she did. So now all these military types and governments are blaming her because a 13-year-old girl in a ship that has no control unit that she can use is responsible for releasing a load of criminals, superpowered criminals, into the world.
You don't seem really happy with watching it, Rob.
You know, everything you're saying is making Superman sound like a massive jerk.
Yeah.
Because, like, surely he could sort this out in, like, 5 seconds flat.
Well, surely he would have seen it falling from the sky, a giant prison that was in the Phantom Zone. He managed to, according to the story, he managed to find her when she crashed on Earth. Surely he could find a giant floating prison.
Wait, is this meant to be set in, like, the same continuity as Man of Steel? I could understand that then, because, like, that Superman loves him some collateral damage.
No. They say he likes his collateral damage, but they don't think it's in the same universe as Man of Steel.
I think it is, actually.
Well, here's the thing. There is one reason why I say that, right? And it's the S. When Superman in Man of Steel talks about the S to Lois Lane, what does he say?
That it's a symbol that means hope, Rob, because being an S would be dumb, and, like, a symbol for hope isn't dumb, obviously, except it is so dumb.
Yeah, it is so dumb. But here's the thing. In the Supergirl one, she says it's not an S, it's the coat of arms for the House of L, and it means stronger together.
Which is also dumb.
And given that in that timeline, Kal-El's supposed to be a baby and she was a 13-year-old girl, I'm sure she knows the difference between hope and stronger together. So, yeah.
So it's not a recommended watch, then?
It will appeal to a certain audience, but if you know anything about Supergirl as a character in DC, you're probably not going
to enjoy it. You're
going
to pick out some things, aren't you?
Thing is, she's supposed to be... She's invulnerable to bullets and stuff like that. But she just doesn't happen to be invulnerable to an axe that has, you know, a radioactive axe that has an edge temperature of how many thousand degrees? Because her eyes don't produce that at all. Also, they changed the color of the heat vision. It's now blue.
Why?
I don't know.
I have something to say this. I've just done a quick search. The Supergirl TV series is related to the original films and not Man of Steel.
I know it's related to the original films and not Man of Steel.
What? You mean the original Superman films?
No, the original Supergirl film. Also, Jimmy Olsen, for some reason, knows who she is right from the start.
Right, no, although he doesn't like being... How are they related to the original film?
All I've got here, the
original Christopher Reeve. Remember, there was a Supergirl movie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's related to that.
No, I'm just confused that was
related to the original Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, I know that. Like, I just mean, actually, that means there's already been a Supergirl then.
Yes.
I always thought Superman, though, and that type of thing, well, Superman in, like, general, it was a bad thingy because everybody, you'd know who he was anyway.
Well, in this, right, apparently Jimmy Olsen, who now insists on everybody calling him James because only his mum and the big Boy Scout call him Jimmy. Jimmy Olsen knows who Kara is right from the start, and he's been waiting for her to announce herself to the world. Right, Kara's sister obviously knows who she is, but Kara's sister just happens to be working for the secret government, secret military organization that protects the world from. It's basically MIB on steroids.
But so, how did her sister get there?
She got recruited because she's Kara's sister, but she got to stay apparently because of she's a brilliant scientist and field agent kind of.
Wait, is she like Kara's adopted sister?
Yes. Everything that Andrew is thinking right now are things that I thought while I was watching this. How does this work? I'm sorry, but what?
This can only be explained with a massive social media rant.
No. It can only be explained with kind of a flipboard presentation. Because then you can draw at the same time. Anyway, long story shorter. Supergirl is on Earth. Jimmy Olsen knows who she is, which means Jimmy Olsen also knows who Superman is.
But no, he doesn't.
At all. He never finds out. Ever.
The whole point of Jimmy Olsen is that he's dumb.
Yes.
And Superman's best pal.
Also, Kara is fighting. Supergirl fights villains who aren't Kryptonian, right? The first Kryptonian she fights is her aunt. The villains that who she fights that aren't Kryptonian, if she has the same physiology as Superman and has been, she might not have been on Earth as long as Superman, but she has all of his strengths and all of his weaknesses. Yeah? Which means, you know, aside from the obvious physical differences, Kara is potentially just as strong as Superman. Yeah?
Yeah.
That would be fair to say. So why the hell does she have so much trouble fighting a bad guy who isn't Kryptonian?
She just needs to get good.
See what I mean?
Yeah, plus to be fair, you say that. I have the same problem with The Flash.
Yeah.
Is that, like, literally all of his fights require that at some point he just stops running and stands there and go, I'm going to beat you in a fight, bad guy. Oh no, now I've been punched. If only I could have some way dodged that with my super speed.
Yes. It's the truth. So, yeah. I think somebody needs to go back to the drawing board a little bit with Supergirl, because the thing is, there is potential there. But to me, I'll tell you something. You know, what's her face from Arrow, the geeky girl with the glasses?
Yeah, Felicity.
Felicity. It just seems like some producer somewhere thought, Felicity's an amazing character. I'd love to have her as the lead in a different show. I know, let's make Supergirl, but let's make the lead look exactly like Felicity so that people will look at it and think, oh, yeah, Felicity's great as a superhero.
Sure, that's not just that, like, it's a blonde 20-something woman and you're super racist.
No, she's, even her mannerisms, the way she's written as a character, is very, very Felicity-like.
Oh, it's that, look at me, I'm so adorable and geeky, and look at me.
I'm so adorable and geeky and slightly goofy and stuff like that, yeah. So that's basically, yeah. And also, I'm sorry, but in an age of smartphones and, you know, picture-in-picture TVs and, you know, newfangled backwards hats and all sorts of facial recognition, you can't tell who she is from a picture of her, a very clear picture of her, standing on a wing after she saved the plane.
The two fixated on the S.
She didn't have the S on at that point.
Ah, well, that's just dumb. The show is dumb.
Yes.
Another thing is, King Shark was in the latest episode of The Flash for like 5 minutes and it was awesome.
Yes, he was. Anyway, I'm done. Moving on to Ryan and the best.
Oh, yes. I am so happy that this is out. But unfortunately, it's now in the UK for some horrible reason. Get it sorted. But
so Ash, how did you watch it then?
Magic.
It is the obvious question.
I read from the Necronomicon and yeah.
You transported to a different timeline where BBC didn't suck.
Yep. But this is obviously Ash versus Evil Dead. And again, it's... We'll see Bruce Campbell returning to play Ash once again, set 30 years after. And it's never quite stated which Evil Dead it was, either the first one or the second one. I think more likely it will be the second one.
Well, he's got chainsaw hand.
Now, the second one was the more funny one.
Does he have a chainsaw hand?
Yeah.
Then it's after the second one.
No, he had a chainsaw hand, like, right at the end of the first one.
Did he?
I can't remember.
I thought it was the second one,
Definitely the second one, because the hand gag.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure, like, he got it right at the end of the first one, and then for the second one...
The second one was where you had the blonde woman, and at the end, he gets pulled into the time thing, because that's the one where he has the chainsaw put on the end of his hand. First one is where he loses his hand.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he shoves a chainsaw on it right at the end of the film, and then they remade that for two to make the chainsaw hand thing, like,
for
a much bigger point.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Are you sure? Because I thought he got the chainsaw hand, because he cut off his hand with the axe, because the hand got possessed. And he put it in put it under a bucket. And
I definitely think it's
the
second one, because
the
second one
was
where
it was where
funny.
Was where they had to go into the basement, because there were other people in the cabin at that point. In the second one, the blonde woman who could read from the book as well, but the book had gone into the basement with the deadite, and he had to go into the basement to get the book.
Yeah, I just think it's because two like also adapts part of one.
Yes. There's some crossover there. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, it's. Set 30 years afterwards, and obviously...
He's more middle-aged.
Ash is middle-aged. He's put on a bit more weight, but...
He's looking like an aging Elvis impersonator now.
Pretty much, yeah.
So he's almost at the Boba Hotep
phase. But he is still hilarious, immature. He hasn't grown up one bit. He still thinks, he's in his 20s. And it just makes it all the better. And it starts off with an absolutely brilliant gag where he's trying... It's on the anniversary of when... these events of the films first happened, and he goes out to pick up a chick, and obviously he goes and he's got his wooden hand, and he's trying to pry off to this girl that he got this wooden hand by saving a boy who was trapped on a train track. And it's just so funny, but then it reveals that some weird things are going on, and it's only until Ash realizes that one time when he was with another girl that he got really high and said, hey, do you want to see my Necronomicon? And just so happens to read some of the passages and causes the Deadites to track him down, and they're coming after him. And it is amazing. It's everything I wanted this show to be. Again, it's got Richard's return to the amazing practical effects.
Yes.
And it's gorier than ever. It's campy. It's hilarious. And the best thing is that, he's still working in like this S-Mart as well, and it's just nothing has changed.
He's never graduated from the S-Mart.
Nothing has changed. It is literally like straight up Evil Dead 30 years afterwards. And now the Deadites are coming for him, and they're going after everyone and everything in order to do it. And he is accompanied by like an actual team now of like a girl and a guy. And also there's another storyline involving an FBI officer who, at the very start, like, encounters. And also it's still, like, it's quite scary as well. It has some really good jump scares.
Do you know what it is? It's Blade Trinity done right, isn't it?
Yeah. But no, it's fantastic, especially the... only watched the first episode, but it was enough. It was everything I wanted so far. And it can only just get better from here. But... the fact that, they're trying to convince him that you're the savior, you're the chosen one. You need to, retake up, your mantle and...
Your boomstick.
Yeah, your boomstick. And all he does, he picks up his boomstick and his chainsaw. And again, the practical effects are all back. It's absolutely fantastic.
Does he say the word? When he puts the chainsaw on, does he say the word?
Oh, yes. It's full of all the one-liners. It's just...
Is it amazing. Still as groovy as ever?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely groovy. 100% groovy. Confirmed.
Oh.
Okay, cool. Because, that was the one good bit of the newest Evil Dead film. Just, that random shot right at the end of just Bruce Campbell saying groovy.
Yeah.
But no, it's I'm so happy that I'm so annoyed at the same time that it isn't in the UK. It really should be, because Evil Dead, it's a really popular horror film. A lot of people have it's a cult classic in terms of, especially not even just for horror.
Oh God, yes.
Why is this not here? It's got a lot of attention. Just someone has to bring it over.
We always get it like a year after.
Yeah, but even still, no one has even like suggested picking it up yet in the UK. That's a really annoying
Come
thing.
On, BBC. You got all that money. This is the kind of thing that you should be picking up.
I don't think BBC will be showing this anytime soon.
BBC Three or BBC Two, it could be on. I've seen worse.
It is.
I have seen worse on BBC Three and BBC Two.
I very much doubt it. I'm sorry, but
any channel that can show Son, Sex and Suspicious Parents can show this.
Well, there's BBC Four. There's nothing on that.
Let me put it this
in
way.
In an ideal world, Rob.
Don't you dare
sell
me BBC Four.
No, all I'm saying is, what is more offensive to your sensibilities? Right? This is a question to all you guys. What is more offensive to your sensibilities? Evil Dead, or Ash vs. the Evil Dead, and all of the gore and, the grooviness and the chainsaws
like, faces being blasted off.
Or a bunch of late teens, early 20-somethings, face down in a gutter because they got completely ratted. You know, they're basically sleeping with anything that moves, even the chipmunks. And, you know, their parents are watching, like, some kind of sadistic voyeur.
This happens all in the first episode, Rob. This all happens in the first episode, saying.
No, this all happens in one episode of Son, Sex and Suspicious Parents as well.
This all happened, plus all the extreme gore and an old woman's head being cut off.
Yeah, and
well, aside from the actual murder side of things, you know, everything else is kind of in Son, Sex and Suspicious Parents.
Are we really comparing these shows?
I remember the spin-off with the snow, not Son.
Yeah,
well,
I like snow.
If you forget about the murder, everything else is just, just happens anyway. Yeah, just ignore the murder.
Well, that's the point, though.
If you ignore the murder, he does.
To be fair, there's BBC 4 and ITV 4 as well. ITV 4 in particular, keep on showing
Bonds. I can see someone like, you know, Fox or...
Channel 4?
No, Channel 5.
Channel 5.
Channel 5, yes.
We'll be picking this up.
Yes.
No, but it's so good.
I know what we should do. We should write to CBS and say, right, can you add this to CBS Action?
Sky Channel. Sky as well. Sky
Sci-Fi,
mate.
No, not Sky.
I feel like it would be really good for Dave as well.
Hey?
I think Dave would be really good.
Dave. We'll take anything.
Yeah. For three of you. Sci-Fi
Channel,
I can see taking this.
Sci-Fi, maybe.
Dave will take anything, will he?
Beggars can't be choosers. That's what Dave
just
is.
Just a comment from left field from Andy there.
But oh my god, like I don't care. Like you need to like watch this like any way you can. It's worth it, especially if you're a massive fan of Evil Dead like I am.
Except also, we on the show do not condone watching things online illegally.
Yes.
No.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
No, we don't
condone it. We're not saying we don't do it.
Although people have, the creators of Game of Thrones and things have, like, said they don't mind watching theirs online because people buy the box sets.
Actually, you're wrong there.
They don't mind.
Game of Thrones is the most pirated show in the UK. And they actually tried to clamp down on that, and they were doing a lot of stuff.
They've actually said, though, it wasn't for the piracy.
It was only until everyone basically went, hey, right, here's the issue. You've got a really, really popular product that everyone wants to consume. And the only way to do that is to have the highest pay Sky package, which costs a lot of money. So obviously people
are
going to...
TV, but
But here's
people
the thing.
People are going to look to other
options. People love Game of Thrones. It got pirated. But the thing is, the money that HBO is making through merchandise, I mean, we've had two pieces sent.
We've
had a couple of miniature pieces sent in the new Game of Thrones mini kits, which you can buy in the HBO shop. We've had them sent in. We'll be talking about those on the Geek Show next week. But those are like, this little sword is £8 and the statue is £7. And the thing is, those will sell like hotcakes.
Oh, yeah.
You could have those.
You've got the Funko,
take 100 of those little swords, which is kind of the Night's Watch sword, Jon Snow's Night's Watch sword.
Valerian's
take those to any marketplace, right?
They will sell.
And you put them down, you say, £10. People will go, take my money.
Exactly. I want one now. I even though I knew they're probably not out yet, I still went to Forbidden Planet just to check. They've also got the Three-Eyed Raven as well.
Yes, yes, so
there's
they do.
Plenty of there's plenty of more merchandise that they will make their money on.
But yeah, I'm glad that they actually have realised that, yeah, we're making a lot of money off everything else. So yeah. Maybe, yeah, it's worth.
Yeah.
The only ones that are going to get hit are Sky. But
and who cares about Sky?
Yeah.
Well, they don't care about us. They don't pay tax, so...
Oh.
Told you. And you all thought I was political.
Well done. But yeah, Ash versus Evil Dead, it's amazing.
Mm. Right. So, yes, we are unfortunately at the end of the show. I think we should leave there.
Yeah. Before we offend any other company or individual.
You're the one doing the offending by saying Dave will take anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Beggars can't be choosers, Rob.
Yes, yes. All right, okay, we are at the end of the show. We're going to love you and leave you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, My Anime List, Steam, DeviantArt.
Under your bed.
Yes, in your closet, in your head.
Nice.
And if you want to support us, then you can do so by going on to The Geek Shop, which is on our website and on our Facebook page, and purchasing one of our lovely t-shirts. More designs are on the way, so look out for them.
Give us your money.
Yes. Anyway, for now, I have been Rob.
I've been Andrew.
I've been Ryan.
I've been Disturbed.
Now I'm Disturbed now, more.
I is down with the sickness.
No, trumpets.
Oh, God. That's definitely something to end on.
Yes. We'll see you all next week. Take care and have fun.